He wanted me to read John 1:33. You want to know what John 1:33 says? It says, I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. That's John 1:33. So maybe there's a message there for you. But guys, welcome to the Revive Gospel Workshop. As I was going over this material and learning this particular technique to share the gospel, I started thinking about some people that I've been recently reaching out to. One of them is a gal by the name of Cassandra, and she's a very able-bodied woman, young. She's got a lot of life left ahead of her. She's very vivacious, outgoing, energetic, happy kind of person. Has three kids from a guy that she was not married to. She had hopes and dreams that they would get married. Instead, he got to be difficult to live with in various ways, and the relationship ended. So she left for California to find a better life. There's not a better life to be found in California. It did not take her very long to start realizing that she took her problems with her. And so she came back and is now hitting the repeat button, living with another guy whom she's thinking, this is going to be the one. And she's going to just do it all over again. And I think about her because she's looking for a better life. She wants to have a good life, a full life, a happy life. Don't we all? But you're not going to get it from the world. You're not going to get it by doing what the world does. It's just not going to happen. And it's just going to make you more frustrated and more frustrated and more frustrated. And you're blaming it on everybody else, but you're the one that's choosing to follow this pattern when there is a better way to be had. But no way, not Jesus. I think about another guy. The guy that hangs out at our store. He's been hanging around with our store for a long time. And just within the last 3 or 4 months, decided that maybe, and this is what he said to me, I'm going to give being a girl a try. And so now this guy thinks of himself as a girl, dresses like a girl, has changed his name to be a girl. And I'm telling you, everybody in the store that's not a Christian thought, hey, this guy, that's who he is now. He's now a girl. Let's not offend him. Let's not hurt him. You know something? 35 to 50% of all transgenders kill themselves, or at least try to. Look it up. I went to 3 different websites to find out, is that really true? It's true. Oh, it's okay. You could be transgender. The chances of you living long enough to see the next day fall by up to 50%. But it's okay. It's not okay. 35 to 50% attempt suicide. It's not okay. And yet this guy, he just wants to find a better life. He wants to be happy. He wants to be fulfilled. But he won't go to Jesus for it. But that's the only place you're going to go to find the life you're looking for. And so here I am. I'm working through this gospel stuff. I'm feeling that spiritual resistance. Oh, this is so hard to share the gospel. It's so uncomfortable. People are living miserable lives, and they're killing themselves because they don't know Jesus. Not the way we do. They know Jesus from what they see on TV, maybe, or what they heard about. Maybe they spent enough to be like 13 or 14, confirmation. They think, I got Jesus figured out. I'm now 13 or 14 years old. I know what Jesus is all about. And so I don't need to go anymore because I got it figured out. I'm 14 years old. You can't teach me anything new. So they stopped going to church, and they have formed their view of Jesus when they were before puberty. Come on! People need Jesus. And God has entrusted to us the gospel that will set people free from the lies and the shame and the pain that they're going to find in this world, and you're not going to escape it. And so that's what I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about 2 Timothy 4:15. You know, and a lot of people think that Timothy was a shy, timid guy. He was a young guy, and, you know, he just that's what they think from some things that they pick up from the scripture. And so, are we able to get to that verse? And so, this verse has been one I've been thinking about, because this is a charge that Paul, at the end of his life, I'm telling you, when you're reaching the end of your life and you know it, you stop with the platitudes, you know, you stop sharing all the nice things that people want to hear so that they will like you. No, you tell them what they need to hear. You tell them what they need to hear, because you're at death's door. And Paul knew he was going to die, and this is what he says to Timothy: "But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." And by all indications in Scripture, this guy did not have the gift of evangelism. And yet he said, "Buddy, you got one life to live, man. This is one of the things you need to do. Do the work of an evangelist." But it's hard. I know it's scary, even just the thought of it. Here we're in a training. We're kind of in a safe area. It's our safe space. You know, and we can get trained. We feel good about it. But then you got to leave. And it's so scary. Well, it's very interesting. In this very same book, Paul starts off this very same book to Timothy by saying this in 1:7. Is it fighting us? "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and love and discipline." That great picture? That's just a great picture. You know? And there are dead inside. There's dead outside. They're dead, spiritually dead. And yes, so here, Paul, knowing Timothy well, knew that he potentially was a fearful, timid kind of guy. Like, buddy, that may be the way you are naturally in the flesh, but it's not the way God is, and it's not the way the Spirit is. The Spirit now fills you. You're not the same Timothy as before Christ came into your life. You're a different kind of Timothy. You're the kind that does not have a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and love and discipline. You can do things now as a Christian that you would never dream of doing as a non-Christian. So stop thinking like a non-Christian, because that's not where you're at anymore. Okay? And so that's just my little primer here, guys, because I don't know. These things have been on my mind here for the last couple of weeks. We delayed this by a week, and so I've been thinking about these things, and I've been thinking about people's lives, and I'm thinking about my own reluctance to share the gospel. And I'm thinking, real lives are just being dragged through the mud. And we could help them. By the grace of God, we can help them. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we're going to do a gospel workshop here, Lord. We're going to learn how to use a power tool. The gospel is a power tool. It's the power of God for salvation. For salvation. It's the power of God. It's the message that sets lost sinners free. And Lord, we just pray that your Spirit would magnify yourself right here, right now, in our hearts, in our minds, that maybe we would like let the Holy Spirit take over for a minute and just let you lead us. Let you speak to us. Let you equip us. Let you prepare us to fulfill the ministry that you have for us. We don't want to waste this time, God. Help us to invest it. In Jesus' name. Okay. So if you're a normal person, you have a very natural fear, hesitation to bring up spiritual things out of the blue to somebody else, right? Anybody's like, yeah, it's kind of like scary to think about, right? Yeah. Okay, so that's okay. That means you're normal. You know, if you don't, then you're not the normal, which is fine. Which is fine to not be the normal. But most people do. And it's so the question when you're getting into the gospel, oh yeah, I'm sorry, I just jumped right into things. Okay, go ahead, Trudy. What we're going to be doing, guys, we're passing out a special Bible. And with each Bible, one Bible per household. So one Bible per household. And with each Bible comes two gospel cards and two gospel bracelets. All right, so we're going to get those passed out right now. And so that's the pattern. And so we only have a limited number of Bibles. So if you want more, you will see on your little sheet, you got your little note sheet, you have the email address, thank you, Wayne, where you can go to get more. Okay? That's where you can. So let's say we end up just like, wow, I didn't get a Bible at all. You go to that website, you can get more. As you guys know, our church is small, and so we don't have a budget to buy these things. So Bob and I bought these for you guys. Those are gifts to you. But if you need more, if you want more, you're going to have to go to the website to order them. All right? Okay, so that's where that's at. Wayne, why don't you give yours to Savannah and Ariana, and you could just look off of Josh, because we'll be getting more at home. Okay, and so that's your there's your tools, huh? Kind of cool looking Bibles there, yeah. But you've not seen one like that before, right? It makes it so easy to go to the specific verses that you need. Okay, and then you got the cards. You'll be getting the bracelets. Okay, those are your tools, guys. You're going into war. You know, you want to have a shield, you want to have a sword, you know, you want to have some armor. Yeah, just give it to them, and then you come, Wayne, you can just sit with Josh and look at Josh's. Yep, there you go. Okay, these are your weapons, if you will, the tools, the key, whatever analogy you want to use, you need these things. Okay, you got them. Okay. One of the hardest things to do, my goodness, you could have your wallet or your pocket or your purse could be chock full with Bibles and gospel tracts and, you know, whatever. And yet, you still got to bring it up, spiritual things. Or you could be like those that just kind of leave them on the toilet in the restroom, you know. Which is fine if you want to do that. I'm not going to stop you. But how do you bring it up? How do you start? Most people are so consumed with the weather or their job or their love life that how do you bring up spiritual things? Where do you start? The way we're going to start, step one, guys, step one is you ask the question, how can I pray for you? Okay, that's the, and you fill in the blank. There's a blank there. How can I pray for you? Now, you don't ask, what we've done before is there anything I can pray for you about? Is there anything I can pray for you about? We're not asking that question because they can say no. We want to say how. How can I pray for you? Because when you say how, you're not saying, well, I mean, they could say there's nothing, but that just takes more effort than to say no. So we're asking, how can I pray for you? Now, you know, you're hanging out at the game store or you know, you run into somebody at Walmart. How can I pray for you? It might come easy. It might come natural. But sometimes even getting to that can be tough. There's a couple ways you can deal with that. One, let's say you've been into a conversation with somebody for a while. You could just say this, hey, if I were to ask you, how can I pray for you? What would you say? You could just phrase it that way. If I were to ask you, how can I pray for you? What would you say? It could be an easier way in the middle of a conversation to bring that up. Another thing you can do to get yourself to this point is to simply say, hey, I was praying that God would lead me to somebody to talk to. How can I pray for you? You could just tell him that. He's like, hey, I was praying that God would lead me to someone to talk to pray for. God, I was asking God to lead me to somebody to pray for. How can I pray for you? How about that? Huh? Pretty easy. I was praying on my own, by myself, that God would lead me to somebody that I could pray for. Hey, there's somebody. You're a somebody. How can I pray for you? Okay? So on three, we're all going to say, how can I pray for you? One, two, three. Very well said. Now, you might think that's a little trite or silly, but seriously, just to have those words pass through your mouth can help embolden you to do that. So we're going to do it one more time. One, two, three. Like music to my ear. Okay. When you do that, they will most likely tell you. I found even randomly at the fair, if I asked people if I could pray for them, they would say yes. There were a few ornery atheists. That's not your problem. How can I pray for you? Then they will tell you. As they tell you, you need to listen to them. Don't do none of this stuff. You know, they're telling you what you can pray for. No, don't do that. You listen to them, and then you say, can I put my hand on your shoulder? There's something just the extra mile, guys. There's something special. I don't know. It could be supernatural. Let's just say personal. If you can put your hand on their shoulder. Can I put my hand on your shoulder? Can I put my hands on you? Can I put my hands on you? Typically, can I put my hand on your shoulder? It's just, you don't have to. If it's a guy-girl situation, you probably don't want to. But it helps make it real, make it personal. And then you pray for them right then and there. And honestly, if you don't get any farther than that, you've gotten a lot farther than you otherwise would have had you given in to your own fear and insecurity. Right? Like, man, I never even got to the Bible. Don't worry about it. If you got to prayer, you got somewhere. So good job. Okay. So number one more time. Then you put your hand on their shoulder and you pray for them. After you pray for them, they'll say, wow, thanks a lot, whatever. You just say, hey, can I give you this wristband to remind you that you were prayed for? I thought I had a wristband with me, but anyway, you guys have them. That's when you have those wristbands in your pocket, you pull it out and say, hey, can I give you this wristband to remind you that you were prayed for today? Just to remind you, to commemorate, whatever. But this is the easy way to say it. Can I give you this wristband to remind you that you were prayed for today? Everybody will take it. I mean, come on, it's a wristband. You're giving them a gift. Proverbs, what do I have that proverb there? I think I have a proverb that goes, yeah, 18:16. Giving a gift can open doors. It gives access to important people, NLT says. And so there you go. You give them a gift, you open up a door into their heart, into their life. They will let you engage in more conversation because you just gave them a little token gift. Actually, the greater gift was the fact that you just prayed for him. Okay, so you ask him, hey, can I give you this wristband? More than likely they'll take it. If they don't, don't worry about it. But that's the next step, is you offer them the wristband. More than likely, 99% of the time, they will take the wristband. Then you're on to number three. Number three is you say, hey, what do you notice about the wristband? What do you notice about this wristband? You know, because when they take it, believe it or not, when they take it, they will look at it. That's right. I know, shocking, isn't it? They will look at this wristband. They will start looking at the different colors. They'll try to make out the words on it. And so it is natural. You just gave them a gift. Hey, what do you notice about this wristband? You know, they're kind of looking at it anyway. What do you notice about that wristband? Okay? Their response to this question gives you a quick, brief snapshot into their worldview, into their frame of mind, their spiritual awareness. You know, so if somebody goes, well, this is obviously a gospel bracelet. Each color represents a part in the gospel chain, you know. Then you got, well, I'm talking to somebody who's been around the block a few times, you know, with the church, you know. But if they go, well, it says something like ROM, F, there's some numbers on it, and they're clueless. It tells you a little bit about their worldview, about their spiritual background and knowledge. Okay, so that just by letting them tell you what they notice about the wristband tells you something about where they're at spiritually. Okay, then this is pretty easy peasy stuff, guys. So I skipped that second one. Okay, first one is you ask, how can I pray for you? 1, 2, 3. Number two is, can I give you this wristband? There you go. And then number three is, what do you notice about the wristband? You guys are good. You guys are really good. Crazy good. Okay, that's it. It's easy. You pray, you give them a wristband, you ask them what they notice about the wristband. Then, you know, all the attention right now is on this cool wristband. You ask, can I explain the wristband to you? Okay? If they already know what the wristband is all about, then you just say, so do you go to church somewhere and just go right there? But if they don't understand ROM and numbers, and then you ask them, can I explain what these five colors mean? Okay? Can I explain what these five colors mean? Let's try that. 1, 2, 3. I explain what these five colors mean. Very good. If they say, no, I gotta go, no, not too interested, I can sniff, can smell that this is a Christian thing already, you know. If they say no, don't worry about it, it's not your problem. You just like, no problem here, this card will do the same thing. And you give them the gospel card. You know, if they're cold to you, if they're not ready, spiritually, God's not been working on them. They're still fighting with God. Don't worry about it. Don't say, well, you're going to hear about it whether you want to or not. No. That would actually do more harm than good. You just give them the gospel card. You got that little gospel card? Let's see it. Everybody hold it up. Yeah. Guys, it's got the same thing. The verses, it'll explain it. So if they say, no, I'd rather not, just like, no problem. This card does the same thing. You can have it. It'll explain the wristband. Have a good day, man. All right, okay? So, can I explain what these five colors mean? Let's say it again. Can I explain what these five colors mean? Good job. Okay, so they say no, you give them the verse card and you move on. If they say yes, sure, why not? Okay, whatever. If they're willing to let you explain what these five colors mean, then you pull out the Bible and you just say, hey, look, this Bible actually, you know, is color-coded the same as the wristband. They kind of go together. You know, you can feel free to state the obvious, you're going to be pulling out a New Testament that has the same colors as the wristband. So you pull out your Bible and say, see, look at here. The Bible matches the wristband. So actually, what would be helpful, you could say, what would be helpful is you could actually just stick your thumb, and now everybody grab your Bible, and you put your thumb to the first gold tab, as he says number one on it, doesn't it? Yeah. You put your thumb at the tab, and you open the Bible, and it should be right on the page. Isn't that Romans? Is it Romans 3:23? Yeah. And it's highlighted. Okay? And so you pull out that Bible, you open it up with that yellow tab, and you have them read the verse out loud. That's number five. Have them read each verse, and then you ask, what does that verse mean to you? So, okay, put your butt, open it up. Everybody can do that right now. Can I get somebody to read the first verse for me? Okay, go ahead, Jenny. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and for being the first person to willingly and excitedly read that verse, she gets a nylon bag that says, time to revive. Yeah, I know. Now, I expect more quick participation. So, yeah. Okay. Yes. It's Romans 3:23. It's highlighted. You have them read the verse. Because, guys, the Word of God is powerful and effective. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. And so we want them to read it. Because you know how it can go. When you're listening to somebody else read, you can easily tune out. But when you're reading it yourself, you've got to think about what the verse is saying. And so you have them. You just go ahead. It would be helpful if you would just read it. Could you just read that verse for me, please? And they will read the verse. Yeah, do you mind reading this verse? Now, this guy, actually, in a video, training video I was watching, he said, some people don't even know how to read. And we don't want to embarrass them. And you just say, hey, can you see this? The print is kind of small. Can you see what that says? Well, yeah, I can read that. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and read that. You know, so this guy was suggesting that you just say, hey, can you see this verse here? The print is kind of small. Oh, yeah, I can see it. Oh, hey, would you be able to read that for me? You know, you just give them that chance. You know, they say, well, I can't really make it out, or I really don't understand. I can't read very well. Then you do it. Because we don't want to unnecessarily embarrass people who have trouble reading. But essentially, you're going to ask them to read the verse. I think most people can read. You ask them, can you read that verse for me, please? So let's, can you just say, can you read that verse for me, please? There you go. And they will. Most people are not going to fight you on it. And it's kind of curious. I mean, you've got this wristband, you've got the Bible, they're matching. It's kind of interesting what's going on. Okay, so you do that, you have them read it out loud, and then you ask them, what does that verse mean to you? There's several things you can go on here. By having them tell you what the verse means to you, kind of tells you how well they're tracking with what they just read. Sometimes they can have this strange thought in their head that is completely the opposite of what the verse says. So in that case, you have full freedom to throw in some explanation, some clarification. You know, things like, you know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It seems like other people sin and they're falling short. Yeah, wow, and you think that it says all, which would include you too, right? Well, yeah, I guess so. You know? And so there's some explanation that could be helpful. This is also a spot where you could bring in any Ray Comfort stuff. If you've been trained with Ray Comfort, Ray Comfort stuff does a really good job of helping people realize that they are a dirty, rotten sinner. Believe it or not, I have had people in Decorah claim unflinchingly, face serious, that they've never sinned. And so the Ray Comfort approach is simply saying, well, have you ever stolen something? I mean, even something small like a pencil or a paper clip. Have you ever stolen? Well, I've stolen something. Well, what does that make you? If you steal something, then you're called a thief. Thank you. Yes, you're called a thief. Wow. And have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Have you ever sworn? Yeah, it's like, well, yeah, sure. And if sometimes even while talking with him, he'll say, well, blick, splickety, 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 splick, you know, this, like they think it's funny. You know, yeah, okay, well, you know, that's called blasphemy. You know, you just blasphemed there. You've taken the Lord's name in vain. That would be a sin. You know, have you ever lusted after somebody? You know, have you ever, you know, desired to have sexual relations with somebody that you weren't married to? Most people will say yes. It's like, well, what is that? You know, the Bible says, Jesus said that if you haven't lust after a person in your heart, you have already committed adultery with them. That would mean you're an adulterer. You've committed adultery just thinking about it. We're not even talking getting to it. Now, I've had people who try to rationalize their sin. Oh, my goodness. They like to think of themselves as holier than thou, and they're not even Christians. You know, and they'll rationalize. It's like, well, they weren't married to anybody. Well, were they married to you? Well, no, then they weren't your wife, were they? You know, adultery isn't having sex with somebody that's married to somebody else. It's having sex with somebody that you're not married to. That's adultery. And for some reason, people like to think, well, if they're a single, it's clean. It's good. No, it's not. It's still adultery because you're not married to them. I run into these situations and I go like this. So, if you feel so led, if this person is trying to make themselves out to be Mr. or Mrs. Righteous, then you might want to bring up some of those questions about, hey, have you ever stolen something? Have you ever sworn? Have you ever lied? That's an easy one. Have you ever lied? Have you ever lusted or had sex with somebody you're not married to? And then they start to get the picture, oh yeah, I really am a dirty, rotten sinner. Then you go on to the next one. So you got your thing, you put your finger to the next one. I think it's black, right? It's black. You open it up. Can I have somebody read that one for me? Go ahead, Joe. Okay. They read the verse. You can ask them, what does this verse mean to you? 1, 2, 3. That's the key phrase. You just ask them what that verse means to you, and they will answer the question, whatever they're thinking. Now, most people in this verse have no clue as to what a wage is. And so you might need to help them realize that a wage is something you earn. Got a job, you put in your time, you've earned this wage. It's a payment. You've earned it. Well, here it is, according to this verse, you have earned death. That's the penalty for sin. You said you've sinned. You said, yes, I'm a sinner. You've acknowledged that you're a lying, thieving adulterer. And that means you have earned the death penalty. That's the penalty for sin. There's penalties for breaking crimes in America, for the most part. There's a crime. There's a penalty for breaking crimes against God, or you're breaking the laws of God, and it's the death penalty. And so you try to help them understand that the wages of sin is death, okay? But God has offered a solution to our problem through Jesus Christ. Then you go to the red. Open that up. We've got Brad who wants to read the red one. Go for it. That is so true. That is so true. And here it is. You get the last nylon bag. What? Sorry, guys. But you can still volunteer because I need more verses to be read. All right. So yes. So that's the red verse. What is the red verse again? It's love and it's, is it, is it, It's Romans 5:8. Okay. Romans 5:8. Okay. So God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? And what's interesting with this verse, you know, again, you ask him, what does this verse mean to you? And guys, that may be enough. I mean, I'm throwing in some extra material here. But really, all you have to do is go through each verse, have them read it. What does that verse mean to you? Well, that's really good. And move on to the next one. You don't have to throw in any Ray Comfort stuff. You don't have to explain what a wage is. You can let the verse do the talking. So it's like, I'm a noob at this, man. I can't handle this extra stuff. Then don't worry about it. Have them read the verse. What does that verse mean to you? Really great thought. Go on to the next one. But for any of you who have been through the outreach diagram training, there's a lot more that you could share just to help bring some explanatory value, some clarification to the verses. On this one, you could ask them, who are you in that verse? You guys got the verse? Who are you in that verse? In that verse, who are you? Yep, God demonstrates his love for us and that while we... And who are you in that verse? You're the sinner. Wow, and what did God do? He died for us. Those are just a couple of simple questions you can ask. Who are you in that verse, and what did God do for you in that verse? And that can just, sometimes, guys, just having them say that, just all of a sudden, whoa, I'm the sinner, and God died for me. God died for me. Sometimes you can just remember what we said. The wages of sin is death. It's the death penalty. If you break a law of God, it's death. Off with his head. You know, guess what? Jesus stepped in and said, I'll take that. He died for you. It helps them connect the dots. Okay? Then you go on to the purple. All right, can I have somebody read the purple one? All right, go for it. Okay, this is Ephesians 2:8-9. All right, so guys, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of yourselves, the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, if you're equipped with the outreach diagram and you know the diagnostic question, this is a place right between the red and the purple. Right before you read the purple tab, you can ask them, hey, have you ever thought about this? If God were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? They will throw out their answer, or they'll say, I don't know, right before the purple. Hey, you just read the red. If God were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? They throw out their answer, and then you could say, the next verse answers that question. What that does, it just helps them all of a sudden reset. Oh, this verse will answer that question. You know, maybe especially if they don't know the answer. Oh, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And so it'll help them realize, maybe you might need to help them realize, there's nothing you can do. It's not by works. You're not going to get to heaven and say, I'm here because I am just all that. You know, I've never killed anybody. How about me, right? No, you're not going to be able to get to heaven and boast about it. Actually, how does one get to heaven? In that verse, that's all the verse you had. How does one get to heaven? What is it? It's by grace, through faith. It is a, thank you. That's the one I'm really mining for. It's a gift. It's a gift. Let them just think about that. even draw that out. Do you notice that the way a person gets to heaven is by receiving a gift? That's just that kind of language is a little bit new, a little bit fresh. It's a gift. Huh. And so then right before you go to the next one, you can ask, how do you get a gift? Let them answer, well, somebody needs to give it to you and you take it. Okay. This next verse tells you how to receive the gift of eternal life. How do you get this gift? It's a gift from God. How do you get the gift? That's the last verse. What number is it? It's green. Green. Who's going to give me the green? Go for it, Stephen. Mean to you on three. What does this verse mean? Okay, let's try it one more time. One, two, three. Guys, if the Holy Spirit has been working on this guy or this gal, you won't have to explain much here. They will tell you. They will start coming forth. They might even be in tears if the Spirit is working on them. Okay, and they will start explaining their, that you've got to confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart, God raises you from the dead. Then you're going to be saved. Then you'll be rescued. That's how you receive the gift. You take it by taking Christ into your life, typically done through prayer. So, this has been pretty easy, guys. How can I pray for you? Well, you can pray about this. Great. On you. You pray for them. Cool, man. Thank you for doing that. No problem. Hey, I've got this wristband. I'd like to give it to you just to help you remember that I prayed for you today. Wow. All right. Oh, what do you notice about that wristband? Color coded. Yeah, kind of cool. Yeah. Hey, would you mind if I explain? Can I explain that? What those five colors mean? Sure. Why not? You pull out those Bibles. Like, check this out, man. Bible actually matches. You know? Pretty sweet, huh? Yeah, that's good. Hey, could you actually read this first verse for me? Can you read this? Are you able to see these words? Okay, yeah. Can you read that one, the highlighted person? Sure. They read it. What does that verse mean to you? They tell you. Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. Huh. How about the next one? Let's check out this one. So you could actually make the connection. I think the first one is gold. Like, so the gold is the verse right here. So you can make that connection. So the gold on your bracelet is Romans 3:23. Let's go on to the next one. And you go through it. Huh. Read that for me, please. Sure. Oh, what does that verse mean to you? Got it. All right. Let's go on to the next one. That's all you really need to do. You get through the whole thing. Okay. You get to the purple. What does that verse mean to you? They tell you what it means to them. If you need to throw anything in, go ahead. But now what do you do? This is where it's like the crux of the conversation. This is like, gotta go. This is when the friend shows up and interrupts the conversation. This is when their phone starts to ring. You know, this is the thing that the devil doesn't want you to do. Sure, if you're gonna pray for somebody, knock yourself out. If you're going to share with the gospel with them, well, I hate the sound of it, but feel free. But for God's sake, don't get them to make a decision for Jesus. Have them just fill their head with a bunch of Bible facts and make them think they're good because they know stuff. Knowing Bible verses doesn't get you to heaven. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ is what gets them to heaven. And so, this next part is uber important. You ask them, hey, what's keeping you from believing in Jesus right now? Do we have that? Is it number six? Do I have that? What's keeping you from believing in Jesus? I don't have that in there. Okay, my bad. Ignore the slide. The next step is, and it's on your paper. What's keeping you from, is it on the paper? Thank you. What's keeping you from believing in Jesus? So the word is believing. That's what you do. They read him. You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. What's keeping you from believing in Jesus right now? You're simply asking them. You went through the whole gospel. They now know they're a dirty, rotten sinner, and the only way they're going to go to heaven is through Jesus. That's the gift. Jesus is the gift. What's keeping you from believing in Jesus? Let them answer the question. And you can interact on the other. Well, I still want to buy a truck and do something. You know? Well, come on. Like, work there, you know? Yeah, you buy your truck and you go into the ditch and you roll over and you die. Then what? You know? Help them realize this is like forever. And you never know when you're going to go. So, you ask them, what's keeping you from believing in Jesus? Let them answer the question. You can interact with them. But oftentimes, they will say, I can't think of anything. If the Holy Spirit's working on them, they will probably say, can I pray right now? Can I believe right now? You know, there's nothing stopping them if the Holy Spirit's really working on them. So, let them answer the question, but oftentimes they will say, I can't think of anything. So then you do the praying for them. You pray. You pray with them to receive Christ. That's number 7. You pray with them to receive Christ. But let's go back to the question here. Let's make sure. What's keeping you from believing in Jesus? On 3. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. That's right. You ask them that question, they answer the question, then you pray with them to receive Christ. It's best if they pray out loud. If they don't want to, you could then say, okay, go ahead and pray quietly. And then after they're done, you say, so what did you say? And you have them tell you. You know, they're just afraid of the semantics of prayer or whatever. But most of the time, it's best to have them pray out loud. You have them pray out loud, you can hear. You can listen. It's like, are they praying that God would give them a new truck? That's not the same as Jesus. You know, like, well, that's great. I'm sure God wants to bless you with a new truck, but the gift is Jesus, not a new truck. And so you can help them, and then they may need to pray a second time so that they actually put their trust in Jesus. They actually repent of their sin, saying, God, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, and I don't want to be one anymore. I'm going to turn away from that, and I want to put my trust in Jesus. Those are the two things you need to listen for in the prayer. Are they repenting of their sin, and are they putting their trust in Jesus? You're not really putting your trust in Jesus if you want to take your sin with you. Okay? You can't serve two masters. Love one and hate the other. And so you need to hear those two things, that they repent, they're sorry for their sins, they don't want to live that way anymore, and that they're putting their trust in Jesus and his death on the cross. Save them from their sin. When they pray that, and they say amen, and you say amen, and you celebrate, you do the high five, this is so fantastic. According to the Bible, you have just received the gift of eternal life, which means it starts right now because it's eternal. You know, you don't have to die to get eternal life, you actually get it right now. You will live forever according to Jesus. And so, because of that, you have now just entered into a whole new world. Before you were dead, now you're alive. And so you put your finger on the orange. Everybody put their finger on the orange, and you take them right there. And this is where you talk to them about, how now do you live? Now that I have received this gift, this unbelievable, undescribable gift, how now should I live? You take them to the orange, and you talk to them about being a disciple. And this is important because we're not called simply to share the gospel message. We're called to make disciples. Remember that verse? Go therefore and make disciples. And so if they pray, your job's not done. It's just beginning. You now need to talk to them about being a disciple. And so you see that there. It's about the Holy Spirit. He comes inside of you. You are now a categorically different person. You're possessed. You can tell them you're possessed. But not by a demon who wants to take over and makes your head spin around. No, you're possessed by the Holy Spirit, who wants to give you power, love, and self-control. And so, stuff you've never had before. Okay? So, the first one is Holy Spirit. The other one is, the second part is that growing in Christ. Growing in Christ, prayer, reading the Word, going to church. What's the third part? The third? What's that? Community? Okay, so that's the church part. Okay, great. So then going to church is the community. And that's when you invite them to Lifehouse Church. That's right. That's where that comes in. You pull out your Lifehouse Church invite card. I was going to have those out here. Oh, God. But we've got them here. And you hand them in. It's like, come on, do church with us. You'll love it. The bald guy is crazy. You never know what he's going to say. The craziest things. He's going to get himself in trouble sometime. And so that's what we're going to do. You got it? This is how we're going to live, because this is not just a weekend thing. This is not just, oh, let's do this for a year and see what happens. This is a lifestyle. This is what we do. We're Christians. And he left us on the planet. Like, come on, I just prayed to receive Jesus. Just take me home now. You know, he says, no, I've got a job for you to do. The whole world needs Jesus. I died for the world. You know, God so loved the world. It wasn't the trees and the rocks. The rocks are pretty cool. But no, he wasn't dying for those things. He was dying for us. Okay? So our job, what this is what we do, this is who we are, is to go and share this gospel. So what we're going to do is I'm going to make up a thermometer from my PGT days. When I first got saved, I first finally got invited to this secret meeting called a PGT. Secret meeting. And they had this thermometer. And they were, every time somebody would share the gospel, they'd fill in the thermometer. And it was kind of cool to see the thermometer rise. It's always nice to see the thermometer rise. But anyway, so we're going to have a thermometer sitting on the refreshment table. And every time you share the gospel, primarily, I mean, through this revive technique, but God, seriously, I'm not going to say, well, you didn't use this special method. No, if you share the gospel at all, we're going to count it. But it would be awesome if you use this because it's so simple and it would be fun just to see us all as a church using it. Okay? So we're going to fill in that thermometer and we're going to put it at 100. We're going to trust the Lord to share the gospel 100 times. That's about 8 to 10 times a month. We can do this together. If it was all on me, it wouldn't be happening. I need you. You need me. We can work together as a family. Thank you. And we can do this. So we're going to have a thermometer to rank it. Okay. That's the training. You have now been trained. The first question is, how can I pray for you? The second question is, can I give you this wristband to remind you that you just got prayed for? Third question is, what do you notice about the wristband? Fourth question is, can I explain? Yes, can I explain to you what the five colors mean? Okay, they say yes, and then you do what? Can you? Yes, can you read this verse for me? What does that verse mean to you? Okay. We're now moving along here to number six. Okay, let's work on that one together. On three, what's keeping you from believing in Jesus? One, two, three. Okay, this is the part that the devil really doesn't want you to do, is to get to the point to help them make a decision. Okay. That's it. Then seven, you pray with them. And eight is, yep, you go to the orange disciple section. But and order some more. All right. I have spent and overspent my time with you. Guys, if you want to do this, but you're scared, I understand. ask me to go with you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to those who believe, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And Lord, thank you that this gospel is the power of God. Help us not to put it under a bushel basket. Help us to unleash it to the world. Give us the courage and the love to share the gospel with those who are perishing. In Jesus' name.